Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were to picture in your mind a prisoner or captive, you would perhaps start to imagine someone with hands and legs bound or in a cell behind bars. It's a sad reality of human society that some people are imprisoned either for punishment or for their own protection or the protection of others. Either way, imprisonment is a pitiful image. It's even more shocking when someone is held as a prisoner of conscience or the victim of a miscarriage of justice, imprisoned unjustly, as Jesus himself was. Imprisonment means deprivation of liberty, the restriction of movement, and of seeing the world in its widest perspective. Imprisonment narrows down how we experience life. But then we're told that astronauts like Tim Peake, returning from the International Space Station, also have this sense of confinement and then of liberation as they taste once again fresh air, smell the smells of the world, and taste food, good, wholesome food, away from the sterility and confinement of their spacecraft. So we can say that we are not simply imprisoned behind bars, but that imprisonment can also be a metaphor deployed to describe a situation, any situation, when we feel trapped, unable to leave, unable to be free. The sort of life that Rowan Williams calls life shut in on itself. You may have spotted that the political rhetoric of the European referendum debate illustrates language and metaphorical language of imprisonment. For some people, membership of the European Union is a prison from which the UK, or in which the UK is trapped and fettered, where it's not able to be free to make its own decisions and pursue its own path. Of course, for others, precisely the opposite is the case. Remaining in the EU is a liberating decision where free trade, freedom of movement, and basic human freedoms can be protected. I would guess amongst all of us now, there are at least two views and probably more than two views. And the decision, as they say, is yours. But whichever way you do decide, please do decide. And when Thursday comes, if you have that right, do exercise your vote. And all of us, whether we're able to vote or not, surely as Christians must pray for discernment in the decision making and indeed have trust in the outcome, even if it's not quite the one we want. We see the image of imprisonment and liberation also coming in our readings today. The gospel reading tells us about a man, a loner, called Legion, who clearly has what we would identify today not probably as demonic possession, but as a serious mental illness. And so he went round naked, something shocking and unacceptable then, as it is now. And he lived in the tombs, and there he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. So he was in quarantine, living out in the cemetery, held at a safe distance from where mainstream people live. And all Legion's associations are with death, dead bodies, and fear. In his nakedness, he represents, on the one hand, the innocence of Adam before the rebellion, but also the discomfort that the naked body can present. In Legion, there is vulnerability, and suspicion. And because of this suspicion about him and physical danger, he is bound in chains. He's not free in any meaningful way. Life is shut in on itself. But I think, though, instinctively, we recognize life when it's being lived differently, when it's being lived freely and without inhibition. The coverage following the horrible and untimely murder of the MP, Jo Cox, tells us that she lived a life not shut in on itself, but opened out in the service of others, service to the poor overseas, service to those in her constituency, an act of service that ultimately cost her her life. And it's this cost of living life open to others that generates the sort of society that we all cherish, and for which, you could say, Jo Cox is a martyr. Life in Christ shapes this way of living. And if we live out that way of life and adopt its habits, we infect in the best possible way those around us. So you could say that what we see in both readings this morning is the call of Jesus to live life in its abundance. As well as being a man who has real needs for compassion, reconciliation, and freedom, this man, Legion, is a metaphor for life lived outside the resurrection, life not lived in Jesus Christ. Away from Christ, he and we live a manacled, lifeless life, contaminated by death, exposed and vulnerable. Yet Jesus Christ goes to the tomb for us and with us. He is stripped of his clothes and his dignity with us and for us. And he is bound and shackled for us and with us in order that, like the disturbed man, we might be led out of slavery into freedom in the promised land. So we begin to digest what this might mean for us, not just here now, but every day of our lives. What this liberation, this removal of shackles, this taking hold of the life that really is life might mean, what it might taste like, what it might smell like, what it might feel like. And indeed, in our first reading, that task of digesting what life with and in Christ means is tackled by St. Paul. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul, speaking of the liberating power of faith, says, "Before faith came, we were imprisoned under the law until faith would be revealed." Let's be clear, though. Paul is not talking about the criminal or civil law. He's talking about the law revealed to the people of Israel. The law for Jews was and is the way in which they remain faithful to the promises of God in covenant. For Paul, though, the question is how those who are not part of the people of Israel, who are not Jews, can live in covenant with God. It's a hard question for him, because as a Jew, as a good and righteous Jew, the law and its observance had been the way in which he was right with God. So for Paul, it is faith in Christ that is the key that unlocks the law, so that all people may be brought into relationship with God as God's children. This way of life is one that binds us, as it were, now to God through life in Christ. And it's a paradoxical relationship, as the second collect at Matins puts it, whose service, God's service, which is perfect freedom. How can service, being constricted and restrained, be perfect freedom? Paul answers that by saying that being in Christ We are no longer bound to God through what we are compelled to do or not to do, but we are bound to God through our relationship with God in Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, a relationship formed in faith and love. And this act of liberation is seen when a person moves into Christ. As Paul puts it, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. So we are not prisoners or free people, but persons in Christ. Those who respond in faith are heirs according to the promise of Jesus Christ at the heart of the gospel, which is life in all its abundance. As an Elizabethan poet put it, O lively life, that deathless shall persevere. I wonder now, might we taste in the Eucharist that taste of God's liberating life into which we have been baptized, and then go from here like Legion, who was told, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. May we, like Legion, go away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus has done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.